You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about how our state has seen a large drop in net migration of families with children. We're looking at efforts to draw in millennials as we watch our population age, as we watch the birth rate fall. And the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation launched a new recruitment campaign. They have these testimonials from young professionals around the state who say, in their own words, why they love to call Wisconsin home. And here's one ad of a family watching a movie in their spacious backyard.
With a booming economy and housing dollars that go further, you can find your dream job and that big backyard you've always dreamed of. Wisconsin, it's more you.
What do you think Wisconsin should do to attract younger workers? Are there certain policies or marketing strategies that you think could influence demographic shifts? We're at 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp is a public policy analyst. He's director of Forward Analytics. That's a research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Dale, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So in that marketing campaign, the testimonials are compelling. We were listening to them yesterday. They make a really solid case for loving Wisconsin, and these young professionals are doing really amazing things in these videos. But what does the hard data demographic trends tell us?
Well, I mean, historically, you know, when we look at who's coming here and who's leaving, we've been very strong at attracting young families, and which is not surprising. We have great public schools, low crime. We have all of the amenities that young families want. We've not been very good at keeping recent college graduates. The research that I've been working on of late is troubling in that it shows that we're not doing well with young families anymore. Since about 2010, that trend has sort of reversed. And that's a problem for the state. I think that's one of the reasons we're at 3% unemployment is we're not attracting those young workers to the state anymore. And, you know, that's not only causing an immediate problem, it's causing a long-term problem because they're not bringing their kids with them, which is the workforce, part of the workforce, you know, 15, 20 years from now.
Do we know the why there?
With migration, unfortunately, we don't know a lot of whys. You know, we sort of have to infer. We don't survey people that move in and out. We have the data. We don't know why. We sort of infer things. Like, as I was mentioning, it kind of makes sense about attracting young families. We know we've got great public schools. We know we've got relatively low crime. We've got those things. When a trend like that reverses, you have to ask yourself why, and we don't really know why.
You can only kind of shine a flashlight in certain areas and make some inferences.
Yeah, and we're digging in on that and trying to figure that out, but it's sort of a new trend, and so it's going to be a bit till we kind of figure that out.
So millennials are people who are born between 81 and 1997. Why are they such an important group of people?
Well, I think there's kind of two things. One, first, we have to not only focus on millennials, but we also, I'm a big advocate of long-term thinking. And so we not only have to focus on that generation, but also the generation after them, Generation Z. But they're important because the baby boom, the population, the generation that I'm from, is retiring or is nearing retirement. That was a very, very large generation. It drove the economy for 30 years. We're retiring. We need that younger generation behind us to fill the workforce. And so we're looking at the millennials right now, the generation after that as well. We need to be able to retain and attract that generation if we want to grow our workforce here.
So when we think about Gen Z, and these are really, really young people, I mean, what are we thinking of in terms of bringing them up here and keeping them here? What should we be looking at with such a young generation?
Well, remember, Generation Z is actually, the oldest of them are in high school now. So, you know, that's where, you know, they're going to be heading off to college. So we want to be able to, you know, we want to be able to retain them here for that. So, you know, each generation, as it works its way through, you know, has different preferences to some degree, I would say. And so everybody focuses on, for example, the millennials, how different they are. And they are different in many ways. But one of the things that we're seeing is the older millennials who, you know, we thought, oh, they want to live in big cities. They want, you know, all of these amenities. As they begin to form families and start raising kids, they're acting a little bit more like their parents than we kind of thought they would. They are beginning to move out to the suburbs. They're moving to smaller towns as well. So, you know, they don't admit it, but they are a little bit more like their parents. But
you would never admit that.
No, I wouldn't have admitted it either when I was that age. You know, but they, you know, they want to be connected. You know, when they're younger, in their teens and 20s, you know, they want public transportation. They want to be where the action is, I guess, to some degree.
Talking with Dale Knapp, who is director of the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association, what questions do you have about our state's shifting demographics and what it means for our economic future? Are you a boomer or a Gen Xer or a millennial? Gen Z, before school, what do you think policymakers should be doing to prepare for what's to come? How do you see age transforming your community right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Paul now, joining us from Heartland. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. I'm a 32-year-old. I don't know if you'd consider me an older millennial, but I just, you know, moved to the suburbs a couple of years ago. Grew up in the suburbs outside of Madison, so I guess I am kind of doing the same thing that my parents did. I just want to comment. I think a lot of what I see with my friends moving away or just, you know, staying away from Wisconsin has to do with policy. We're conservative. Our conservative policies over the last 8 years have, I think, harmed us in a big way when it comes to attracting young people. We're way behind on our marijuana policy. And I think just generally, you know, the policies that have been active and exclusive, and I think, you know, we need to be more inclusive of everybody.
Dale, you're a longtime policy analyst. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, public policy can have an impact. One of the research generally shows people move for economic reasons mostly. And then they sort of fill in behind that, and so you know, one of the if we go to economic reasons, one of the challenges Wisconsin has, especially in terms of college graduates, is when you look at the pay scale in the state, we do a very good job. We're very competitive, top 15, top 10 states, and some at the lower end at lower and middle end, I should say, the blue collar type jobs. When you get to white collar jobs, when you get to engineers, and when you get to computer science, we tend to be 10-15% behind the national average
on the pay scale.
So that's one of that's probably our biggest challenge. You know, in terms of retaining college graduates and attracting them from other states. So I think that's really one of the big factors. We do have a great cost of living. Generally, our cost of living is very average here. Mm-hmm. But the recent college graduates don't look at cost of living as much as they probably should. As they get older, they begin to. But then again, like I said, I think the public policy issues sort of fill in kind of behind that.
Well, when you look at those white-collar jobs, you have to think about connectivity and are you able to get your job done in the Midwest or do you have to be on the coasts? How does that factor in?
Well, you know, when you look at, I mean, the millennials and, you know, even Gen X, et cetera, they really want to be connected. And for most jobs, you have to be. For a lot of Wisconsin, that's not a problem. When you get to Madison, you get to Milwaukee, you get to the Fox Valley, that's really not a problem. The connectivity problem is really the number one issue in northern Wisconsin. When you get to the north, you lose a lot of that connectivity. And it's something we've been talking about for 15 years. And it's one of the reasons when you look at the older millennials, the ones that were in high school in the late 90s, northern Wisconsin over 15 years lost 40% of that population. The rural south, where, again, connectivity can be a little bit iffy, lost 25%. So that's a big challenge, especially when you get to those parts of the state.
Well, it's interesting that you can pinpoint some things there because data is really showing you that there is a correlation there between broadband and your ability to do your work and your ability, you know, and to be cut off
from your
industry.
Yeah, and these stories actually go back to when I worked for the Taxpayers Alliance, go back to the early 2000s. You know, we talked to school district officials and businesses in northern Wisconsin, and even at that time, especially businesses would say they would generally, they couldn't get a lot of things done connectivity-wise between like 4 and 7 after school got
after
out,
when school,
sort of,
sure.
You know, because mm-hmm. the there wasn't a lot of broadband up
bandwidth
there. So, so it's a challenge, and it continues to be a challenge up north.
Policy analyst Dale Knapp studies migration patterns, does this for decades. Wisconsin has seen a steep decline in net migration of families with children, and this is problematic as boomers retire. Meanwhile, Wisconsin economic developers have these ad campaigns to help attract millennials. So what demographic shifts have you seen where you live? Are local businesses thriving because of them or struggling to keep up? What do you think the state should be doing to help the economy transition after boomers retire? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about demographic shifts and what they mean for our economic future. There's a concerted effort from economic developers and millions of dollars put into getting millennials to move here. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation launched a campaign recently called Think Make Happen. One testimonial is from Mike Miller, who owns a surf shop in Sheboygan.
Sheboygan's just a great spot. The geography of it on Lake Michigan. So we get some really clean surf. If you haven't been to one of the Great Lakes and you actually step to the shoreline and you look out, it looks more like an ocean.
Are you a Wisconsin business owner? What gaps are you seeing between your needs and the available workforce? Is your company offering incentives to attract workers? Join in 800-642-1234. Dale Knapp is a public policy analyst, and he heads up a research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. Let's go back to the phones now. Pam is joining us from Richland Center. Hi, Pam.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was going to especially emphasize the last comment about internet. My kids with satellite, my kids can't finish their homework if there's a storm. So internet is a huge thing. But the more important point, we have some great organizations trying to, you know, clear up the environment and make our small town, you know, attractive. What I sometimes see is, you know, like there's an emphasis on families. And I always wonder, you know, being a single person in a rural area is hard. And the other thing I really have issue with is the lack of diversity. We need to have more diversity and accept the people of color, the people of alternate lifestyles, the people of alternate religions. And so I'm trying to work with, you know, diversity conversations. But I think that if, you know, we could look at that sort of trend and see how we can attract for a variety of people, that would be a good emphasis.
Pam, thank you so much for the call. How do we make our communities more diverse as we look at these demographic trends?
It's a challenge, partly because, I mean, in terms of racially, for example, Wisconsin has never been very diverse. We're one of the whitest states in the country. And so we're gradually becoming more diverse, but that's something that sort of it needs a spark, I guess, to get going, because people like to be with people that are similar to themselves in a lot of ways. And so for minorities, when they look at Wisconsin, they look at it, it's very white, and they feel kind of out of place. And so as a state, as citizens, we have to be more welcoming and of a variety of people. And when that happens, then I think you start to change that. But it's a long process to do that.
Well, let's go to Tom now in Waukon, Iowa. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Political climate. I have a son that lives in Wisconsin, and he shakes his head. You've got the gerrymandering of the legislative representation. You had Scott Walker for years. This is not a political climate where people looking for diversity, as the last caller said, kind of the dynamics that young people want to see more progressive. And your legislature is sitting, basically on a lot of stuff. So that makes it hard to say, yeah, pull up stakes and move to that kind of a state.
Tom, thanks for that call and those observations. What impact does a political climate make on these trends?
Well, as I said earlier, when we look at that the recent shift in terms of migration, it's hard to figure out why, what's going on. And so what you do is you look at, okay, so what's changed? I think Tom's right in terms of political climate, but I think I look at it a little bit differently. When you look at 2011, there was a lot of turmoil in Madison and throughout the state with Act 10, et cetera. And we were on the national radar, and we've been on the national radar since then. Now, there's political turmoil in all states. I think there's a different perception of Wisconsin now in terms of that political climate, that we've always been sort of Wisconsin nice and we've got along, even though politically, there's been turmoil. There was turmoil during the Governor Doyle years, et cetera. But it sort of got accelerated and got on the national radar. And so if you're from another state, I think when you see that and you don't know everything else that's positive that's going on in the state, it kind of gives you pause. So I think that plays a role in sort of what's been happening.
Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee to the conversation. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. So I'm a Gen Xer, and I would say that this discussion's been had across many generations, probably from baby boomers on, where people move away. They want to go see what the life is, go to the coast, go to Chicago, go to bigger cities or whatever. But I think that if you look at it, like a lot of people in my generation, I've talked to my parents about this, they move back, after they've gone and experienced some of that, because Wisconsin's a great place to raise a family. And I think that, a lot of people just want to return home where their friends are, where their family is, and just be close to them. And so I think it's just, I don't want to say a revolving door, but it seems to me that people are constantly returning, even though they may leave for a while. I don't think it's necessarily a continuous drain.
Marcus, thanks for the call. It reminds me of one study once, and it has been probably not in recent years, but that looked at the distance a child lives from their mother. And it's found that as they age, it was closer and closer and closer. What do we know about family ties and when people move?
I do think Marcus is right in a lot of ways that we have sort of had this conversation. And, people do come back to Wisconsin. When you look at census data, when you look at Wisconsin's population and the percentage of them that were born here, so they may have moved, may have come back, we're one of the highest states in the country. So, in terms of migration, we don't move a lot, really. But when we do, we tend to come home. But I think this conversation is more critical right now because of the baby boom retiring, because if we don't bring some of those people back, not only are we not going to be able to grow our workforce, we're actually going to see a declining workforce, and that's going to have significant economic impacts in the state.
When you say a declining workforce, what might that look like here?
Well, you're going to, you know, your employers aren't going to be able to expand. The ones that are growing that we want here, the growing ones, they're not going to be able to expand. They're going to look elsewhere to expand. And when they start looking elsewhere, ultimately, do they move their whole operation to that new place? It would be good to some degrees for certain employees because there's going to be a worker shortage, which will tend to push up wages. So there's going to be a lot of dislocation, and it's something, you know, a shrinking workforce is really something we've never really dealt with. So it's going to be new and transition. But again, I think we can, the migration number, the most recent migration numbers show that in terms of total migration, we're turning the corner a little bit. We're seeing some net positive migration over the past couple of years. We don't know which age groups they're in yet, but so we're turning the corner. We need to turn it a lot faster, I think, though.
Can a marketing campaign make a difference?
It can make a difference. There's going to have to be a lot of things that go into this. But, you know, Iowa did this in the early 2000s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how much success they had. You know, Maine is doing something in terms of attracting, working on attracting telecommuters. I believe Tulsa is doing something of the same thing. So everybody's having this challenge to some degree because everybody has this aging population. So we're competing with everybody else at the same time. So, you know, it's going to be part of a strategy.
Dale, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here today.
Dale Knapp is a public policy analyst here in Wisconsin and the director of Forward Analytics, a research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.